We're continuing our studies in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read, beginning with verse 22, and read down through verse 24. Abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The Lord is interested in our sanctification. Sanctification, I guess you could say, is a four-bit word for separation. It's a term that had to do with the priest in the Old Testament who cleaned up their life ceremonially so that they could perform the services in the temple. And the Lord wants us to separate ourselves unto Him. And the Lord has made provision for us to be separated unto Him. In John chapter 17, which is the Lord's Prayer, where the Lord is praying for His disciples, His apostles, and He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Separation comes from the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that we know and find out what is acceptable to God and what is not acceptable to Him, so that we can abstain from all appearances of evil. It doesn't please God for us to even be in a place where we cannot be associated with that which is sinful or evil. And so we're to abstain from all appearances of evil. And it's the Word of God that provides us insight into insight into His will, so that our behavior can become pleasing to Him. In John 17:19, Jesus said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, what does it mean that Jesus Christ sanctified Himself? Jesus Christ set Himself apart as our high priest. He has set Himself apart so that He can deal with our difficulties, with our sin. He has set Himself apart that He can go be a go-between or an attorney between us and our Heavenly Father. And when it says that they, that is, the little children, the called, the chosen, the brethren, also might be sanctified through the truth. One thing that we need to appreciate is this, that we may not be sanctified. Notice that the word might is in that verse. Just because you're a child of God does not mean that you will live a life pleasing to God. Just because you're a child of God does not guarantee that you are separated unto the Lord. Paul told the church at Thessalonica to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Touching the unclean thing causes us to be defiled. Defilement separates us from fellowship with the Lord. Defilement and sin in our life requires confession of that sin and restored fellowship. So Jesus has sanctified Himself to make it possible that we can live a separated life and do it consistently. If there was no power to live a separated life, then we couldn't do it. And Jesus Christ provides the power for us to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints," the word "to be" is in italics, and it's been added by the translators. They didn't do us any favors by doing that. He is talking to the church, and the church are those who are separated, who have been called unto His kingdom and glory. And the word "saints" has to do with holiness, holy living, clean living. And so Paul is writing to the church which should be sanctified, that have been called, and their separation should be unto holy living. And he continues, "With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." These are people who are praying people as well. So I'm trying to emphasize the fact that sanctification has to do with those who are called and that are holy in their walk with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. "For both he that sanctifieth," that's a present active, it's in a process. Let me say this, sanctification doesn't happen overnight. You don't get all the truth overnight. And we are sanctified by the truth. So sanctification is a growing process. We find out that this is not pleasing to the Lord, so we stop. And then a week or a day later or whatever it may be, we find out another thing is not pleasing to the Lord, and we stop. And so it's a process of setting aside all the weights that does so easily beset us, according to Hebrews chapter 12. So sanctification is a process that we go through. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who sanctifies us, and He uses the Holy Spirit to teach us His Word so that we know what we need to do and what we should not be doing. So He says, "Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified," and notice it's in the, both of these are in the present tense, so it's an ongoing process, "and sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Notice that the brethren are those who are willing to separate themselves. I have emphasized over and over again as we've been studying in the book of 1 Thessalonians the significance of the word brethren. Brethren are just not simply those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You're part of the family, but brethren are the ones who are hearing the Word of God and changing. So there is a distinction between a brother or brethren and just simply a child of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Paul is referring to the house of God. In God's house, there are vessels of gold and silver, wood and earth. God doesn't set the vessels of wood and earth outside the house, but the vessels of gold and silver have a special place in the house, and the vessels of earth and wood have another place in the house. And so Paul is saying, if a man, verse 21, will purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet or fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. What is the things that we need to do forsake or to purge ourselves from? We are to flee youthful lusts. Now that covers a lot of difficulties. I'm not going into all of those. All of us have been youths in this room. And you know the struggles that we have had in the past. But we're to follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call up on the Lord out of a pure heart, a clean heart. If our hearts aren't pure, calling out to the Lord doesn't work. Our prayers hit the ceiling, and that's it. So the Lord wants us to be vessels that are fit for the Master's use. And to do that, one must be sanctified or separated unto the Lord. Now, we're not talking about missionaries and preachers. We're talking about those in the house. That includes everyone. These are not special servants of God. We're all vessels to be used by the Lord. And my desire for you is to be vessels of honor and not vessels of dishonor. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, the Lord is talking about the church. And He says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the Word. I retranslated verse 26 this way. In order that He might sanctify, that is the church, by the Word, or by Word. This is a spoken Word, or a special Word. Having cleansed it by the washing of water. The washing of water, I believe, has to do with baptism. Now, the water of baptism doesn't clean anyone's sin. It's the confession of sin before baptism that provides the cleansing. In Acts 22, verses 15 and 16, it says, "For thou shalt be His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This verse of Scripture is used by some denominations to prove that baptism is essential to be saved. Baptism is not for the lost. Otherwise, Jesus Christ was lost, because Jesus Christ was baptized. Baptism has to do with separation. When was Jesus baptized? When He began His ministry. When He became a vessel that His Father was going to use at the proper time. Baptism is required to fulfill all righteousness. And we're to pursue righteousness as a man of God, as a woman of God. In Luke chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Then said he," that is John the Baptist, "to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance." Before baptism is repentance. Repentance is separating yourself from the things of the world, the flesh and the devil. And fruits worthy of repentance is simply means, I want to see some evidence that you've changed your life. That's what I want to see. That's what John said. I want to see some evidence that you're changed, that you've separated yourself. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. "Then Peter said unto them," that is, to the nation of Israel, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." The word remission has to do with deliverance from sins. Notice what comes before baptism? Repentance. John was not talking to lost men. He was talking to men who are brethren. That's all you got to do is just read Acts chapter 2. And he uses the word men, brethren, and he preached to them Jesus Christ, Messiah. And these men were pricked in their heart. We made a mistake. What are we going to do? And Peter gives them the answer. You do what John the Baptist told you to do 3.5 years before. Repent and be baptized, and you'll enter the kingdom. Because that's what Jesus was offering them. Notice what he says. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now the gift is not the Holy Ghost, but the promise. You have to read verse 39. For the promise is unto you and your children. That's the gift, not the Holy Spirit. The little word for is a conjunction tying that verse 39 with verse 38. For the promise, and there's a definite article V before promise. The promise is singular in number. That promise has to do with His coming kingdom and glory. In fact, if you read up in verse 33 or 32 in Acts chapter 2, you find out that Jesus Christ received the promise, and obviously He wasn't saved when He got home to heaven. It's just amazing how people would just pick a verse right out of the Bible and build a denomination on it and not even compare Scripture with Scripture. It's terrible. But anyway, let me finish here. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Who had been near? Who was nigh at that time? The nation of Israel. Because the gospel of the kingdom was only being preached to what? To the nation of Israel. They were the ones who were close. The Jews and the Samaritans were excluded. Don't go in the way or into any city of the Samaritans, neither unto any Gentile with this message. And so, those that are far off are Gentiles. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. By the way, these are saved Gentiles and not lost Gentiles because of the word many. And many are called and few are chosen. Only saved people are called unto His kingdom and glory, not lost people. All mankind has been invited to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But there are many that are invited to a special fellowship with the Lord. That is, many of the believers. Just like Peter, James, and John were a small group of people, of apostles who went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. That is a special group. So the Lord does have special groups or people that He pulls apart from others. Okay. Now, so the call that many, as the Lord our God shall call, should be a indicator to you that He's talking about the many that are called and the few that are chosen. Now, He wants us to be separated unto Him so that we can be without blemish. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but they should be holy and without blemish. If you check back in the Old Testament, a priest was disqualified for blemishes. If he had a boil, he couldn't be a priest. If he was blind, he couldn't be a priest. If his nose was broken, he couldn't be a priest. These are blemishes that cause or disqualify those that are in the priesthood from performing the duties of a priest. And did you know that we are priests of God, offering up spiritual sacrifices? And we can disqualify ourselves by having blemishes. And so the Lord has provided means for us to have our blemishes taken care of through confession and repentance and forsaking and separating ourselves from them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 11 it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." That's aorist middle. The significance of the middle voice is that I am the one that's doing the washing. I'm the one that has repented and demonstrated my repentance by fruit to prove it. And I have been baptized publicly so people know that I am publicly forsaking all that is displeasing to the Lord. And then he goes on and he says, "But ye are sanctified." The word here is passive. The Lord then assists us in being separated. And he goes on and he says, "Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." The significance is this, is that we are active in the washing and Jesus Christ is active in the sanctification and justification so that we can be fit vessels for service. Okay? Now, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Here is a reference to those who are set apart that have an appreciation for the grace of God. Without grace, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to serve Him in an acceptable manner. The grace of God is the power of Christ. You can't live a separated life without the power of God upon your life. You can't do it. And so these are into the word of His grace. And they are the ones who are going to enter into an inheritance in His coming kingdom and glory. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, Paul is making reference to the Gentiles again, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive remission, deliverance of sins, and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me. The reason I'm bringing this verse of Scripture out is this. Sanctification is on the basis of faith. We can make shipwreck of the faith. If we can make shipwreck of the faith, we can make shipwreck of separation. We can stop being separated. That's when we have to again repent. Cleanse ourselves. Sanctify ourselves as the priest had to do because of sin in their life. But we're sanctified or set apart by faith or by pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Okay? Now, I included 1 Thessalonians 5:24 for this reason. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful in His service for us today. He is not going to force you to be sanctified, but He will actively help you to separate yourself unto Him. Faithful is He that calleth you. Present active. He is calling us to be separated from all appearances of evil. He is calling us to sanctification, separation. In fact, Paul prays And we will look at this a little more next Sunday. In fact, he's not even praying. He is actually giving a command. Or he says, and yet your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Sanctification has to do with being blameless before the Lord. And just being saved does not assure that or secure that. Okay? It has to be the kind of walk that you live. One thing that I want to emphasize is this. If you fall and you slip, you don't lose your place in the family. You're a child of God and you will always be a child of God. But your place in the family, whether you're closer to the Lord or further away from the Lord, can be affected by the way you live. And so we want to encourage you to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And it's through the Word of God that we find out how to do that and to make our lives pleasing to Him. Father, we just thank You for Your Word that gives us life to live by. We know that we belong to Your house because we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And our desire, Father, is to be a vessel of honor, a vessel of gold, a vessel of silver. We don't want to be a vessel of iron or a vessel of wood or of clay. We want to be fit for Your use, even in high places, if it can be pleasing to You. We pray, Lord, that You'd bless the message to each of our heart. There are those here this morning that their vessels are not clean. They are not separated unto You. We pray, Lord, that You would help them to make a commitment to You, to repent of waywardness, of drifting, of not abstaining from all appearances of evil. We know, Lord, that this can be done in a way that is pleasing to You by confession, by lifestyle change. We pray, Lord, that You'd give us the grace to do it. And we thank You, Lord, that Your grace is available to those who would seek it. And we thank You, Father, that there is cleansing and forgiveness through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.